This is the June 18th meeting of the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee. I'm George Ryder, the chair. Our secretary, Colleen O'Brien, will be here later. So I'm going to go ahead and call the roll. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Charles Magamere?
Here.
Carolyn Burden?
Here.
Lydia Brazan?
Here.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Kathy Davis? Gail Dixon? Tasha Futran?
Here.
Joseph Kay? Lizette King? Bob Lederer?
Here.
R. Paul Martin?
Here.
Brenda Medina?
Here.
Colleen O'Brien is not here. Marcel Reed? Myself, George Ryder. Tracy Rosenberg? John Wanger. Okay, that's 10 people. That's quorum, so we have a meeting. You should all have had the earlier version and a later version sent about 20 minutes ago of the agenda. Does anyone need me to read it? The first item will be approving the agenda.
You should probably read it for the stream.
Okay, just a moment. Anybody got in front of them that can read it for me?
I have it, Bill.
Yeah, would you go ahead?
Okay, calling of roll on establishing a quorum, which we just did. Approval of agenda, which we're on now. Approval of minutes. Who can call an LSB meeting, or Paul? Process for meeting cancellations, Lydia. What list shall we use, Lydia? Proposed amendment one. Reduce the size of our LSBs and delegate assemblies to 16. Approve this as a reduction of one-third from Bill. Proposed amendment two, reduce the size of our PNB to either 11 or 17, Bill. And actually, there's a later version of that, George, to 16. Proposed amendment three, prohibit paid staff from serving on any of our boards, Bill. Action items, adjourn at 10:30 Eastern time.
Okay, are there any additions to or changes to the agenda? Hearing none, let's proceed. The next item is the approval of the minutes. You all received sometime this afternoon an email through GovList, which had both last meeting's minutes and the meeting before that's minutes. I would like to approve them, and I would like to take up the first one, which was the meeting of May 30th, I believe. Are there any changes to those minutes?
I have to continue.
Okay.
I haven't had time to read them.
I'll take that as an abstention.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Sasha, and I have to say, I mean, when we get these things, you know, and we've got 24 hours or less to read them, there's an assumption made that everybody has the time to do it.
Those minutes were sent out after the first meeting. You've had them for a month.
So these are from a month ago. Okay.
The first meeting, the one we're talking about now. Was sent out after the May 30th meeting, shortly afterwards.
This is Bob.
It was sent out before the May 30th meeting. It was present at the May 30th meeting to be approved. We didn't approve it, so it's still there.
Our Paul for something
here. Get our Paul.
Could I request that for future reference, the Microsoft DocX format not be used because Not everybody can read that. It's something at Microsoft changes, and I've known a number of people in other places having problems with the BookX format. So, you know,
yeah,
some other formats,
I take your suggestion actually, and I changed the format of the meetings for last month, which was the May 30th meeting. I sent them out in docs, so everybody should be able to read that one at least. Well, here's no objections to
Bob. Hello.
Bob, go ahead.
I wanted to propose some amendments to the minutes. And
okay.
By the way, is someone taking notes on this meeting?
Well, we don't have a secretary yet. Would anyone want to volunteer to be Secretary Pro Tem? Okay, hearing none, I'll take the notes until such time as Colleen shows up.
This is Ken. Could I please set a time certain on the minutes so that we don't spend a half hour? If it's more than 5 minutes, we should just postpone it.
Let's see what the changes are before we do that. If it gets lengthy, we have to approve these things at some point, and I would like to do what we can at this meeting if we can. Bob, go ahead with
okay.
What your changes.
Okay. It's just unclear exactly what the action was that was taken. So first of all, it says the agenda was unanimously approved, but it doesn't list the agenda. That should be added. And second of all, it then plunges right into an amendment to the bylaws. It doesn't say so-and-so move to amend the bylaws as follows. And then it goes immediately to the motion passed 9-3, but I think the order was first the amendments to the proposal were voted on, and then the underlying motion was passed. Or if I've misremembered that, someone can correct me, but I'm just saying it's unclear the way it's presented now as to what was going on.
Would you like to suggest a change in wording?
Well, first to insert the entire agenda, so there's a record of that. And then second, to before the text of the first version of the amendment to say so-and-so, I don't remember who it was. Well, we'd have to find out. So-and-so person moved to propose to the Pacifica National Board the following bylaws amendment. But like I said, I'm confused about just the first vote being recorded was on the entire amendment being passed 9-3, and then later there's...
Well, we're not talking about the same one, but Bob, I'm still on the one from...
You said May 30th.
No, it was presented at the May 30th meeting, but it was from the earlier meeting.
Well, I'm sorry, I thought I heard...
Let's try to get that one approved. I didn't hear any objections to it.
Our Paul for a fast one.
Okay, our Paul, go ahead.
And it says the meeting was called to order, blah, blah, blah. And it says Paul Martin stated that committee is to be our Paul Martin. Just a little one.
Okay.
I'm sure there's no great debate on that.
No, you are our Paul throughout the network, no question. Okay.
This is Leah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think these were the minutes that I had objected to because of the way that one of the working groups was characterized. But the revised minutes after I made that change were never sent out that I know of. I would like us to postpone both minutes until next time and make that a time certain. And if Colleen can resend it with those changes.
Let me say that we postponed consideration.
Right.
We didn't make any changes to them, which she wasn't asked to make any changes.
Because I thought that I had, but I could be wrong. I could be confusing this with another committee, but
I thought it was Colleen, and I thought it was that one.
It was Colleen.
The audio and check.
And my recollection is that we, you wanted further time to consider the minutes, and so we postponed passing them. But I don't recall there being you making a specific request and us approving the request, but if he changed. I know we didn't take a...
Okay. Well, right now I'm making a motion to postpone this.
Carolyn on the stack, please.
Hey. Carolyn, go ahead.
Yeah, may I suggest that people turn in their corrections and suggestions to the secretary in writing before the meeting. It would really help the secretary, I speak from experience, to have all these corrections in writing. Doing it orally at the meeting is really difficult and time-wasting. I think it would help the secretary a lot if we could agree to send in corrections in writing well before the meeting at which we hope to pass these minutes. Thank you.
I like that suggestion. Can we adopt that as a policy and move to postpone these to give people time to send in their corrections to the secretary? Is there any objection?
This is Lydia.
Yeah?
Yeah, several of us on the West Coast are driving at the time that we consider the minutes, which is always at the beginning of the meeting. So if we get the minutes, and for the April minutes, I don't believe we got those early, but nevertheless, is that we wouldn't have had time to go back and listen to audio and whatever, because that's what is required in making some of these changes. So I don't have a problem. I'm actually pretty good about sending things in writing, but I can't do it when I'm driving or if I haven't had the chance to listen to audio. I assume that we can make changes after the fact, but...
Yes, of course.
Okay, but I still, I think we should postpone. My motion is still on the floor to postpone. I guess we could just vote.
I was asking if there was any objection to postponing with the suggestion that we take up Carolyn's notion that we submit things in writing so that we can actually approve the minutes next time. And I will promise to get you the minutes 3 days before the next meeting so that we can actually approve the minutes of this meeting as well.
May I move to separate those? One is to postpone the approval of this, and then that's one issue.
You can. R. Paul, did you want to speak?
Yeah. On the idea of we do it in writing and all of that stuff, we're supposed to be doing all of our business in front of the public, and if we do it on the mailing list back and forth there and essentially set up the motions there, we are not doing that in front of the public. So I don't think it's proper of us to do it in camera, so to speak.
Sasha, for the stack.
Oh, let me say my understanding of Carolyn's motion was not that we approve it there, but that at least when it comes before us, all the suggestions are there, say, in red type, and we have to approve changes to the minutes in any case. That can be done in public, and it can be read out in public at the next meeting.
But the process is being done away from the view of the public.
Okay. Sasha, go ahead.
How are the minutes that are sent to us done away from the public? The corrections to them are no different.
Thank you.
All email.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, can we first please consider whether to postpone the approval of these sets of minutes?
I will do that. Is there any objection to postponing these minutes?
Question.
Yes.
If we vote to postpone now, does that mean we accept the AIRSOT's policy just voiced?
No.
Okay.
It means we're going to have a discussion in a moment on that AIRSOT's policy. Okay. I hear no objection to postponing consideration. I do not wish to have it happen at every meeting. I think it makes perfect sense to submit the changes that you want to see in writing before the meeting, and I promise you I will get the motions, the minutes of this meeting to you 3 days in advance, so that when we come to approve the minutes, everyone can see what's there. It can be read out so the public will know what's there, and we can vote on whether or not to accept the changes. I would like to see that happen. I think it's wasteful of our time to do it the way we've been doing it. Is there any objection to that procedure? Yes. At least a recommendation. I can't make you do that, but it is my recommendation. Go ahead, Lydia.
This is Lydia, yes. I mean, I would amend it to say on all minutes received, sent out to the full committee 7 days before, because, again, in most instances, I have had to go, as I did today for election committee meeting, I have to go to audio. And sometimes the audio hasn't been there, and it has caused other delays. So we need a week.
Okay, you want to amend it? Okay, I'll get it out.
That's my amendment. That's my amendment if this is a motion.
Okay. Is there any objection to Lydia's amendment to getting them out 7 days in advance to allow plenty of time to make whatever suggestions you want in writing and forward those suggestions to not just Colleen but to the whole committee?
So, question, are you, so this is now a formal motion with an amendment?
Yes. Yes.
And so what exactly does this motion say?
The motion says following, that the committee would like the minutes from the previous meeting 7 days in advance, and the committee would also like any changes to those be provided in writing prior to the meeting. Is there any objection to this?
To the motion?
Yes.
I object, yeah. I mean, the idea that we send out the minutes is one thing, but once you start doing something with the minutes, starting to basically amend them, you're doing business at that point. You're really doing the business. And
got one on the stack, please.
And if you're basically doing business, and it is a qualitative difference between sending out the minutes ahead of time, which is fine, and then having the amendments to it come in, because what would anyone plan to do once somebody starts debating those amendments, which will happen? So I think that, one, in and of itself, it's not doing business in front of the public, and two, it will undoubtedly be doing business without view of the public if we start sending in amendments and debating them with each other. That's all.
Let me say that, to be clear, there's no requirement that you debate anything with each other, but the only requirement is that it be put in writing. Carolyn, go ahead.
Thank you. I think that our poll is looking for problems here where none exist. Most of the amendments are technical, and they don't need debates, and any debates would be on the call when we get to the call and look at the minutes and the proposed amendments. I really think that's just a waste of our time to even discuss this. So I have not only no objection, but I would just move that we move to a vote. Thank you.
This is Lydia.
Yeah, Lydia.
Yes, we had this discussion and this issue arise on the PMB last year. But what was clear is an agreement with our Paul, because we did look it up in Roberts, and any changes to the minutes must be shared with the whole committee at the actual meeting when the minutes are being considered. So if you send something in writing, the changes to any minutes, which are then, you know, presented, should be made at that meeting. It's what's been our practice now since we had that discussion at the PMB level. But There you go, however you want to word it.
how I expressed the motion. That is the intention of the motion as I understand it. Paul was talking about the possibility that people could have discussion about if you proposed it earlier, that would be offline. But my understanding of the sense of the meeting of this motion is it's clear no action will be taken by this committee except in the public meeting. What writing it up in advance does is it saves a lot of time trying to formulate changes. I don't really see the problem with it, but Paul, if you still object, we'll take a vote on this.
Does anybody else object besides me?
Hi, John Wagner here.
Yeah. Welcome, John.
Thank you. I was thinking about this, and I guess it hinges on the meaning of the phrase to do business. It seems to me that the spirit of this of Paul's objection is not to do business. And I think that the distinction is that doing business, well, there's discussion and there's decisions. Discussion about what do you mean by your proposed change to the amendment, you know, those clarification kinds of questions, possible debate. But actually voting on the changes to approve the minutes is certainly doing business. Whether or not the discussion rises to the level of doing business is the question. If somebody feels that discussion is doing business, then that objection or that concern could be met by taking those email messages and putting them on a public place where the public could read them on a website. And they would have the same essential access to it as we would. It would be a kind of a special subcategory of email that has to be shown to the public because it involves maybe the doing of business, that is to say the discussion of minutes correction. But I think the spirit can be met by having the decisions made at the meeting as Lydia suggested or mentioned.
Okay. I hear that as not an objection. Paul asked if there was anyone else who objected. Is there anyone else who objects? Okay. Hearing none then, it will be the policy of this committee that the changes to the minutes be sent in writing prior to the meeting so that they can be acted upon at the meeting in the form that whoever sends them in would like to see them. Okay. Next item on the agenda, as I bring up the agenda, is who can call an LSB meeting? Or Paul, that's yours.
Hold on, I have it in my mouth. Pardon me 1 minute. Okay. This comes out of some stuff various people have had. And the bylaws are very clear. They say that the LSB calls a meeting or in some urgency shows up, the unanimous consent of the officers. However, there are those who think that, for instance, the chair can unilaterally call a meeting. And I think the chair of an LSB can't unilaterally call a meeting. And so there's debate over this. I would suggest that we have an echo. And so I think that there should be some clarification of this. Otherwise, you can have all sorts of things happening with one person calling, a meeting of an entire LSB. So I think that there should probably be a policy in Pacifica that says, only those specified ways of calling meetings in the bylaws are allowed, and, no individual – the exact phrasing of this so that it's not horribly long and legalistic and, on the other hand, doesn't allow people to wiggle around – I'm not sure of yet, but basically to make it so that no individual LSB member can just call a meeting on their own, and that would probably cover it.
this is Lydia.
Before you speak, Lydia, I have a point of information. Arpal, do you have the bylaws in front of you so you can read for us what it actually says?
I'm looking for the.
Okay, go ahead, Lydia.
The previous place the bylaws were aren't quite, but I'm bringing them up. Okay. The previous bylaws I've been using for Pacific are on there, so I'm grabbing the others, and here they are. Meetings. I can read it fast, I suppose. The main thing is Article 7, Section 6, B. Time and place. The LSB shall establish by majority vote the time and place of each meeting, provided, however, that no meeting shall occur sooner than 10 days from the date of the vote scheduling said meeting without the unanimous agreement of all the LSB officers that a shorter period is required to address urgent matters. And, in the event of less than 10 days' notice, notice shall be given by telephone message to all LSB members at least 24 hours before the meeting. There shall be a meeting of the LSB in December to seat newly elected, and the rest of the stuff doesn't really relate. So there you have the gist of it is the LSB by majority vote establishes time and place of the meeting. But if something shorter happens, it looks like the officers can say okay. Nowhere in there, I think, does it authorize a single person to unilaterally declare an LSB meeting. How to phrase that simply without leaving a place where somebody says, oh, but it doesn't say, is, you know, probably a little bit of a debate there. But maybe something on the order of quoting that and saying, therefore, no individual LSB member can call a meeting unilaterally.
Point of information.
Go ahead.
Does it say officers plural? If that's true, then it's two out of three of the officers, and it's unambiguous.
No. It says without the unanimous agreement of all the LSB officers.
So three out of three.
It's unanimous. Everybody. All four.
Well, the secretary is not necessarily an officer.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, not necessarily an LSB member, that's what I meant to say.
That's true, and same for the treasurer. Those two aren't necessarily LSB members, but from the reading of this thing, their vote counts, I would say.
Lydia?
Oh, I pass. Never mind.
Why is this necessary? It seems fairly clear in the bylaws.
It seems extremely clear to me, too. However, I can name one LSB where we had two of these such attempts at illegal meetings, the second of which had people show up and vote that it was an illegal meeting. However, it can cause problems, and, it would be good if there could be a fast, easy understanding that, yeah, you can't do that stuff.
So would you want to phrase your motion in the form of have the PNB chair perhaps send out an advisory notice to the LSBs as to what the bylaws actually say and what's required in order to call an emergency meeting?
Okay, it would be something like, the Governance Committee requests that the PNB say the following or rule the following. I guess it would be a sort of a ruling from them that whereas the – I'm having to click back and forth to do different windows here. Whereas the Pacifica bylaws, Article 7, Section 6B, says, I don't know if I need to read the whole thing, that particular blurb, therefore, no individual LSB member may call an LSB meeting unilaterally. I think that's redundant, but maybe a little redundancy is.
Okay, so I think the sense of it, at least, is clear. Is there any objection to forwarding that request to the PNB? Okay, hearing none, Arpal, would you write it up and send it to Colleen, I guess?
I'm sorry, Carolyn, would you text a minute, please?
I'm sorry, is that Carolyn?
Yes, I'm sorry, I was muted. May I suggest something?
Yes, go ahead.
The point of Paul's problem with our LSD was that an officer had claimed that he had that privilege of doing this. So instead of just LSD member, you might want to say LSD member or officer. Or officer or member. Just to clarify that being an officer doesn't exempt you from this particular motion. Arpal, is that
sure,
agreeable
fine.
To you?
That's fine.
How would it sound then, Arpal?
No individual LSB officer or member may unilaterally call. That's all.
Yeah, the
okay.
thing that would be whereas, okay, looking back and forth again, whereas we're asking the PNB to rule that, whereas the bylaw citation says blah, 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 therefore, no individual officer or member may unilaterally call an LSB meeting.
Okay, that seems clear enough. Is there any objection to that? Okay, hearing none, let's move on to the next item, which is, what list shall we use? Lydia.
Yes, well, I have a question about the Gov list. I mean, I guess we've worked out the kinks. Hopefully everyone on this committee is receiving those. But when I reply, for example, tonight when I was trying to repost the motion I sent last month, it only shows George Ryder's name. It doesn't show like GovList. So my question is, does it go to GovList and everyone? What I did this time, and I have on a couple of occasions, I put the GovList at KPFTX on the CC line. So is that how it works? Because this is different than our PetGov at Yahoo, where you just hit reply and, you know, you're good to go. So that's a question.
Point of information, yeah.
And then I'll proceed with my other.
That's actually with a request for information. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, is Lydia hitting reply or reply all?
Reply all.
Oh, and a reply all doesn't work then. There's no.
Well, it doesn't. At least it doesn't show up. It may work. That's my question. So I'm saying if I hit reply all, that the only George's name shows up because he's the one who generated, you know, the email. Do I still have to CC GovList?
Comment?
Well, I've just done it myself. Just a moment. If you don't, then what's that?
What did you do?
You do. Everybody does get it. Is that right?
I haven't got it. I have a comment.
Give it a minute. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I used to run mail servers on my own computer, and it is a setting on the mail server software as to whether to do what Lydia wants or the other thing. Technical people who run mail servers tend to like reply to do one thing and most people tend to want it to do the other. But you ask the mail server administrator to set it up to do the way you want it to do, and it can easily be made so that reply or reply all go to the entire list. It's a setting under control that just needs to be set. So you just decide what you
do. This is Joseph K. I want to report that I'm on the call.
Okay, Joseph.
Yeah. So you just talk to the mail administrator and tell them what you want and have them set it up to do what you want them to do.
Thank you, John. I take it it's the consensus of the committee that we want it to go to everybody when we hit the reply button. Is there any objection to that? Did anybody get my message other than me that I just sent out, for instance?
What I did not.
What did it say? I got a message from you, but I don't think it was.
George Ryder, and then I got one from Lydia saying rescinding motion Ray meeting cancellations. But did anybody else get Lydia's motion, and did anybody else get mine?
Well, mine, I see Douglas, so if people got it. When I sent the one to you, rescinding my motion,
yeah.
I put CC the gov list at KPFTX, at KPF, yeah.
Okay, so everyone should have gotten that, whatever the setting is.
We didn't, because I would have gotten a copy in my inbox as well, since I'm on that list. Oh, wait a minute, here it goes. No.
George, I'm on Gmail. I usually get my mail in about 6 seconds, and I did not get it. My last message was received from GovList was at 5:22.
So it just went to George.
Okay.
That's my concern.
We need to ask
with
what
this whole new list, and until we work out the kinks, that's the only thing I had this agenda item for, was to use the Gov Yahoo list, because I don't think. You know, I've been sending things out only to this sub list at KPFTX, and I'm not confident people are getting it because I'm not getting copied on it when I send my own. So.
This is Joseph K. May I ask a question?
You're breaking up, Joseph. What's your question?
My point of information is, what is the message you said you now, and you were checking the back?
Just a moment. I sent out something that said, as a subject, just a moment ago, Ray Governance Committee posted by George Ryder, agenda and minutes. That went out at 8:14 p.m. Central Time.
Bill for the stack.
Bill?
Yeah, I just tried doing reply all. I didn't send it, but you can tell by the headers it's not only going to you or whoever the original sender was, not to the list.
I'd like
to talk to Otis and John about that. But another issue is the sender doesn't show up in the from field, which makes it really hard to search for messages, you know, sent by a specific person. The sender's name is in the subject field, which is kind of strange. So, but I can talk to Otis and John about that if you want me to.
If you take it on, I'd be delighted.
But this is Lydia. I mean, my motion is then to please continue using PacGov at Yahoo until we can get this straightened out. Otherwise, we've been sending messages into Etherland, perhaps. Or assuming at least that the whole committee is receiving our messages and they're not.
Anything that's sent to GovList goes to everybody. I think that's clear.
Well, no, because the motion I sent to you, I CC'd to GovList, and it only went to you. That's the issue.
You mean GovList doesn't work as a CC?
No, it didn't work as a CC because I CC'd you. I mean, I did a reply all, but when GovList didn't show up, I went ahead to make sure. I thought the worst that can happen is that people receive two copies of my motion, and neither one came through. You're the only one that received it.
Comment?
Who's that?
John Wang. John Wanger. I'm looking at your message, which was sent at 5:22, and when I look at the email headers, it says from GovList at kpftx.org, and the reply to field says George G. Ryder 10 at Gmail, and the to list says it's sent to me, and it doesn't say it's sent to the GovList. So these headers are not the best, And I would ask Otis and people to fix the headers so that they are more meaningful and more useful.
Mark Paul for stack.
Okay. Bill is agreed to do that. There was somebody else called for the stack before our poll, but I didn't quite get who it was. Who was that?
Can you hear me?
Who is that? Where you are, you're breaking up. I hear just sometimes something.
I've been trying it on the stack. Anyway, I don't get a list. It's all the governance committee members, so I can put them on my contact list and send them.
I'm sorry, but
I cannot understand a word here. That message is breaking up. It's like I hear the word. It's silent.
I understood it, Joseph. What you said was that you would like to get a copy of everybody who's on the gov list so you can make your own list out of it. Is that correct?
Oh, that would be useful.
Is that correct, Joseph? Did I get that? Okay, Joseph, you've got to find a better phone because we can't hear you most of the time. Otis was supposed to have sent passwords for access to essentially the membership list for any committee you're on. I think it's actually the membership list for any committee, which gives phone numbers and everything. So if you don't have the password, all you see is a name, but if you do have the password, you see all their information, including their email addresses. So that should be available to everyone. Now, R. Paul, you wanted to say something.
Yes, I wanted to agree with asking that the headers be seriously changed, because the way it is now, it's very difficult to sort. It's very difficult to find anything in a fast search. I mean, you know, these committees, sometimes you need to find something fast, and, oh, boy, with a search like this, it's very difficult. And maybe basically say make the headers the way the Yahoo headers would look, because those work. They're searchable. They're individual. And also, of course, make it so that with the reply, it goes to the list and not to the individual person. And that we also get the actual original subject line as the subject line. So I agree with all of that, and I think it's necessary, and I think it can be done pretty easily. I don't know why it looks like this. But, yeah, that's...
Okay, so Bill has agreed to ask Otis to make all those changes. Bill, do you get them all? Have you heard all of the...
Yeah.
Do you have any questions for anybody about what they want to see changed?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay. So, and I think there's a consensus that we all want to see it happen that way. Lydia's motion on the floor is until it becomes totally functional to use the Yahoo list, my problem with that is I have to enter all the names and you all have to go agree to sign up, and then you all have to have your passwords and... in terms of just sending something out, the gov list works fine. So perhaps we can handle this. Bill, if you would ask Otis to make the changes within a day or so.
Okay, I can ask him. I can guarantee he can get to it by then. It might take a little bit of work on his part.
Yeah, it might.
Within a few days.
Point of comment?
I think if that can't be done, I'll go and do what I just said. You all will have to respond to the request to join the Yahoo group. You'll have to remember your passwords, et cetera, et cetera. But if that's necessary, we'll do it. Go ahead, John.
I could do this in less than 5 minutes, and that includes relearning how to use the particular use mail list interface.
That's kind of what I thought. I hope that's the case.
And I volunteer to do it if you need help.
Okay, excellent. That's what we want to hear.
Okay. This is Lydia. I'm going to continue using PacGov until someone lets me know that this works.
Okay.
And we don't have to pass a motion. Okay.
That's fine. Okay, so let's move on then. Lydia, is there any objection to moving on? Anybody else want to say anything about this list?
I think
whoever's speaking now, I can't understand it.
Yeah,
it's breaking up. Really, I don't think anybody else can understand either. There's no point.
5 minutes.
Please find some other phone or some other way to do it because it's just not working. Okay. No, I missed it. The next item on the agenda was actually the process for meeting cancellations. Lydia, you had sent out a motion about that.
Yes, I did. Okay.
Point of order. Can we call back in? George, you're just skipping in and out like a broken record.
I don't think.
But can the rest of us speak clearly? Can you hear me, Ken?
I can hear you clearly. There's one person I can't hear clearly, which is Joseph K. Is there anybody else that's not being heard?
Point of information.
Well, your phone was going in and out, George. Now it's okay. I don't know what you did, but okay.
Point of information.
Who had a point of information?
John Winger. I'm going to move and make some noise. How do I mute this call?
Pound 1.
Pound 1? Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Before we take the time to call in to everybody, let's do pound 1 if you're not actually speaking and see what happens.
I can't hear you.
Okay.
Like a broken record.
Okay, that sounds better. There's a point of order from campus.
Is there anybody
else? Point of
information.
Okay. Just necessary. All right, let's hang up and dial in again and see what happens.
Okay, I can't understand a word anybody's saying. This is terrible.
You know what I think is happening? I think it's played that the path is being.
It's one particular line, I think. Someone has a speakerphone on and someone's on Skype. That's a problem.
Okay, at this point, if someone's trying to get on, it's breaking up. And
is someone on Skype? Is someone on speaker? Please mute yourself.
Or close to their computers?
Maybe it's me.
The problem started when Joseph K. called in. I think he doesn't realize that he's interfering with everybody else when he's trying to talk. And we can't
understand. Right now, it's
I hear you everything perfectly. The
yeah, right now it's good.
Has
whatever happened, it works.
Okay.
Before we all hung up, we were getting the video of what had happened a few minutes earlier on the meeting playing over the phone. How was that happening, too?
Wow.
I'm sorry, Paul. I was checking. We're 13 people here. What did you say was happening?
What I heard was the same stuff being repeated, so
yes.
I think that somebody was playing the audio of the meeting over the phone. And so that's some of what we were hearing, besides one person at least breaking up terribly.
I think you're right, R. Paul, but I don't think it was someone doing it. I noticed that one of the earlier meetings, I'm not sure if it was this committee or was another committee, the entire audio on the website on KPFTX was played over by an earlier version of the same meeting. So I think this may be a problem with the system that we're using, and I'll have to ask Otis to check into that too. And it may be something one person can do, I don't know, but I do know that it happened earlier with essentially a whole meeting. Actually half a meeting. Okay, well, we seem to be hearing each other now. I don't hear any noise on the line. We seem to be all here, so let's move on to Lydia's motion.
I have a point of order. When you read the agenda before who can cancel an LSB meeting, you had said the first item was going to be who can call an LSB meeting.
We did that one.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so this reads, meeting dates which have been established by a majority vote of a committee and properly noticed shall not be canceled except by a two-thirds vote at a properly noticed meeting at which quorum is achieved, or by the written parens email close of parens consent of two-thirds of the committee's members. Written parens email close of parens consent shall be sent to the entire committee. Shall I motivate
okay.
it?
Yeah, sure. Good.
Sure. It's the same, in theory, the same principle as our Paul's motion, that no one person or no one officer even can just cancel a meeting on their own. Especially since we, on the committees, we have scheduled them for several months or the whole year. And so everyone has had their own schedules, personal schedules, around those particular meetings. So it's not fair if just one person, even if that is the chair, to cancel. This isn't just the situation here at the governance meeting. It happened on another committee that I was on as well, so it's not specific to this committee. That's it. That's my motion. The rest of the thing is pretty self-explanatory.
And this is presumably a motion that the TNB will pass. You don't intend it to be just for the governance committee, is that correct?
No, it's for the governance committee.
Oh, okay. So we don't need to pass this on to the PNB.
Yes, I think we should for all the so that all the committees abide by it. But it's a motion for this committee as an advisory committee to the PNB.
Okay. Okay. Any discussion of this?
Arpal?
Yeah, Arpal.
Okay, basically I agree with the concept, but if you, for instance, have something has happened, say we've accidentally scheduled a meeting for some holiday that falls on the exact Monday we're supposed to meet at, and we realize that in between meetings we say, oh, nobody's going to show up for this, besides having it something that could be canceled at a meeting, maybe we could somehow find another way to bag the meeting.
Yeah, it's in there.
Two-thirds of the list or something. I don't know.
It's in there. This is the email no one received when I sent it to the list today, but I sent it last month. It says, let me read that portion again, either at the properly noticed meeting at which quorum is achieved or by written email consent of two-thirds of the committee's members.
Oh, is that what that for? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Any other comments about this?
Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I'm okay with it in principle, but I think two-thirds is almost impossible to get. Not everybody pays attention to their email, and if a majority can set a meeting, it seems like a majority should be able to cancel or change a meeting. So I would move to amend the threshold for amending it, to canceling it to one-half, or to a majority rather than two-thirds.
Okay. Any discussion of changing it to majority rather than two-thirds?
This is Lydia.
Yes.
Well, first of all, I mean, I don't rely on just email. The beauty of, and I commend John and Otis for setting this list up on the calendar where you can also have access to people's phone numbers. If people don't respond right away, you give them a call. I do that anyway when if I'm the chair of the committee, I want to make sure I have quorum. But the simple majority might get into, you know, the slate predominance and so forth, which hopefully most of us are trying to steer away from and realize that it should be more than just because one person is going to be out and so therefore, you know, wanting to get their motion passed. You know, it's specific. Right. So I think two-thirds is a safety valve. Even the slate rarely achieve that.
Anyone else want to speak to the question of whether it should be a half or two-thirds?
Ken?
Yeah, and Carolyn.
Ken and then Carolyn.
I support Bill's amendment. It's just too severe. In addition to which, there's no real consequence to this. It's too pedantic. I mean, right now, most of us are on four or more committees. And if something occurs where we decide to cancel a meeting for whatever the reasons are, it's unpredictable. And sometimes some of the committees meet more than once a month. So I think it's just too severe. And if it's going to get into gamesmanship about having meetings to avoid this and that and the other thing, that we have to come out to some other method of resolving those conflicts other than just parliamentary enforcement. So I support Bill's motion.
Carolyn?
Yes, I support it too. I think it's Lily's point is well taken, but two-thirds is just unrealistic for the way we work. So I would not support that.
Anyone else want to speak? Okay. Is there any objection? I think there is, but I'll ask. Is there any objection to...
This is Sasha, and I guess I was muted. I'd like to speak.
Okay, Sasha.
Okay, thanks. You know, somebody just now made a comment about, you know, two-thirds being subject to gamesmanship, and I think quite the opposite is true. I think if you don't have a high enough number of people who have to cancel out a meeting, it is subject to gamesmanship. You know, and as someone who, on a committee that I'm on, I think, was this the committee? This might have been the committee, actually. No, it was the elections committee, I think. It was two meetings were sort of canceled out in a row. Maybe there was one in between. And basically, there was no email about, hey, I can't make this. Does anybody else have a problem? I mean, you know, the interim chair just, boom, canceled out the meetings, and that was that, with no discussion. So clearly that person had been discussing this with some people, but not with the whole committee, and I think that is subject to gamesmanship. So I really think we have to have some sort of a standard that goes, you know, a little bit more than 50% plus one.
Anybody else want to speak to this? Okay, so there's clearly an objection to Bill's amendment, so I'm going to call the roll on that. It'll take me a moment to get the list back up.